Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away. We were at Fadley's last week, had a great conversation with Councilwoman Felicia Porter from the 10th District. Enjoyed that. Matt Gallagher and I got together with Damie Hahn and had these delicious catfish sandwiches with the coleslaw on it. No French fries on it, not a Pennsylvania thing, Baltimore thing, coleslaw, hot honey and some catfish on there on a delicious brioche bun. Get down to Fadley's and grab yourself one of those. Also, our friends at Maryland Health Connection talking about open enrollment and the very, very important need for our government to open back up and make sure your health insurance is there. Maryland Health Connection. I'll have all that stuff up by the end of the week. And then a lot of charity stuff here for we have a dog walk coming up. We've got kidney walks coming up. We got all sorts of things happening this month, but we've got a lousy football team, and Luke Jones is here to, I guess, put a bow on a 44-10 annihilation. Stadium emptied out. I've talked about Harbaugh. You've talked about Zach Orr. We've talked about Eric DaCosta. We've talked about the actual backup players who were out there and injuries and all of that. But I think the one thing we haven't talked much about is, all right, what happens when things go wrong? And players get hurt, and who's going to fill in? And the first thing you think, and you would say, well, if Lamar gets hurt, they're screwed. And based on what I saw with Cooper Rush, if I got 9 or 10 more games of Cooper Rush, we're screwed. I would agree with that. But that would also be said for where the offensive line is right now without Ronnie Stanley, without Pat Ricard, where Derrick Henry is in all of this. We talked about Kyle Van Noy and Henry and their only real reason to be here is to be competitive. Well, 2-7 is not going to cut it for them. And then the Rams are coming in this week, and it certainly kind of feels like Cooper Rush will play this week. I don't know, but that's for you to find out and for the WNST Tech Service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy to report later on this week. But that was just not good enough in any way. I don't think on its best day that was going to be good enough, Luke, really.
No, it wasn't. And I mean, we've talked so much about the defense and its issues and the volume of injuries on that side of the ball. But that we'll continue to talk about that. And as I pointed out, these 2025 Ravens have already allowed more po total points allowed than the 2000 Ravens in 16 games. So it speaks to, different era. I get all that, but their problems. But yeah, you look at this offense, and it's funny. It struck me, Nestor. We've done multiple pieces here, multiple segments here talking about this game. You and I have talked very little about the details of the game because what redeeming qualities were there? I mean, they had a solid opening drive. They didn't run the ball great on the opening drive, but you get a couple big plays there, the Hopkins play, and Cooper Rush makes a couple throws. It wasn't bad, right? The problem is that was the apex of how they, not counting the touchdown drive when they're already down 30 plus points, right? I mean, later in the third quarter. When you sign Cooper Rush, when you sign any backup quarterback, and you made the point. I mean, if Lamar Jackson had suffered a season-ending injury last week in Kansas City, I mean, I don't even know what we're talking about, right? I mean, you're talking about a complete preseason mode, right? You're not nothing matters, right? You're talking about, should this team just tank and get a better draft pick, right? I mean, that's the conversation you're having because you know that you have no chance of winning. You have no chance of, even if you make the playoffs, it's not anything that has a chance to be meaningful going deep into January, right? They're not in that position. I'm in agreement with you. I mean, if Lamar Jackson wasn't healthy enough to play against Houston, and he wasn't, he was ruled out, didn't practice all week. There's very little reason to think that he's going to be ready to the degree that you feel comfortable understanding that even after this Sunday's game, you have the bye week, you have 11 games to go after that. Mathematically, the season is not over at 1-5, even though, my goodness, it sure feels like it in every way in terms of how it feels and how it looks and how it sounds and how players are talking about it behind closed doors and all that, right? But you know that that's also not the case, and that mathematically it's still possible if you can get yourselves healthy and circle the wagons. But Man, I was hoping to see more out of Cooper Rush, but it also goes back to, I mean, they ran for 44 yards on Sunday. They can't run the football. You look at their rushing totals the last 4 weeks. Okay, the Kansas City game, it's deceiving. Why? Because Justice Hill busted a long run in that game, right? I mean, really changed the average. I mean, if not for that play, you'd be talking about a team that has rushed for under 100 yards in four straight games. This is the
And trying the
Ravens.
run, by the way, you know, they're
This is the
run first team.
Ravens.
Yes.
This is the Ravens. I mean, this is the team that famously ran their quarterback on the last play of the game in Denver to continue a streak, this conjured streak that no one was real, anyone that pays, you know, even pays most attention, mostly pays attention, had any clue, but was meaningful enough to John Harbaugh and the Ravens that they ran Lamar on the last play against Denver just to continue their streak of 100-yard rushing performances as a team. So for four straight games, taking out the Justice Hill garbage time play, and I know in the grand scheme of things, you don't actually do that, but humor me. I mean, who are these guys? And that's where you look at it through the lens of how did you not. How can't you run? How can you not be able to run the football better than you did against the Cleveland Browns in week two when you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry? How could you not run the football more effectively than you did against Detroit when you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry? How can you not run the football even against Houston on Sunday when you have Derrick Henry? Run it a little bit when you absolutely must, when you need to. And you had 44 yards on 19 carries. I mean, that's alarming. That's concerning. And look, I don't think it's because Derrick Henry's lost a step. You know, some people have had kind of observed even before Lamar left the game against Kansas City, kind of maybe saying that he hadn't looked quite as explosive the last couple of weeks, which maybe, maybe not. I mean, I'll entertain that, right? I mean, was he a little banged up? You know, what was there something that happened during training camp and he's kind of nursed it a little bit here or there? I don't know. I mean, that it's conjecture, right? There, it certainly would be news to me. I mean, you know, I've been asked about, you know, did Lamar have this injury during training camp? I'm there 90% of the time, 95% of the time during training camp, and I don't recall seeing anything that would be, you know, that first of all that he would be, you know, if Lamar gets hurt during training camp, they're keeping him out as long as they can, right? I mean, you're not playing through an injury during training camp, right? So I don't know, but it just comes back to why has this gone off the rails in terms of not being able to run the football? And I think you have to look at the offensive line. And I get it, they don't have Patrick McCary, but you have four of your other five starters back. Stanley, the last 2 weeks aside, I mean, the run game was already going south, kind of like the defense, right? I mean, the run game was already going south. And I'll buy it against Cleveland, but now when you're talking about really the last 4 weeks not being able to run when you've needed and wanted to run, again, the outlier in the Kansas City game, the long run that skewed the stats more favorably, where I look at this and say, you're not moving people. And I look at this O-line and say, you know, where is the guard play? Why is Roger Rosengarten not taking a step forward? I mean, you know, Ronnie Stanley hasn't been as good as he was last year. And I don't, you know, I'm not sitting here saying he's been terrible, but like collectively, it's been diminished from where it was last year. And man, think about the praises we were offering that group, not so much right now, a year ago, but understanding what they had gone through with the tragic loss of Joe Dallasandres and George Warhop coming in on the fly and kind of just trying to basically coach in someone else's way of coaching rather than it truly being his own, because you're not going to make these wholesale changes on the fly, right? When you're getting ready to start a football season. But the way that came together after the first few weeks and how well they blocked and how well they played, and despite all the scrutiny every week, the fact that, you know, as I pointed out, there, you know, the standard that we hold offensive line play to in general, and I'm not trying to pick on Ravens fans here. I think this happens everywhere. That save for a couple exceptions around the league, you have even good offensive lines have one or two guys where you're kind of questioning it, right? But this hasn't been nearly good enough. I mean, whether we're talking about pass protection or run blocking, and Todd Monken, the play calling, it's lacked rhythm. We've talked about times where the Ravens have short yardage, and not only do they not give the ball to Derrick Henry, which you can't do that every single time, but the idea that you take him off the field entirely and you basically tell the opposing defense, we don't even have to think about Derrick Henry because he's standing on the sideline drinking water right now. So, man, on a day when it screamed being able to run the football, at least at a bare minimum, a functional level that you can just stay on schedule, they couldn't do that at all. I mean, they averaged 2.3 yards per carry. So, yeah, you look at it through that lens, and look, Cooper Rush didn't play well. I mean, even though that the Andrews interception, it goes off his hands, and but he threw two legitimate picks, right? I mean, it wasn't good enough. But at the same time, if you're going to tell me, if you told me, Nestor, on Sunday morning, before I'm driving to the stadium, that the Ravens average 2.3 yards per carry and have 44 net rushing yards, I'm going to tell you, man, probably not a good day for Cooper Rush then. I mean, just not. I mean, not expecting him to be Dan Marino back there by any stretch of the imagination. So what does that look like with another week of practice if we're going to make the assumption here early in the week that Lamar Jackson is going to be held out again with the idea that you need to get that hamstring 100%, because if it's 2 weeks, it's really 3 weeks because of the bye week then. And from that standpoint, you're kind of looking at it from, okay, he got hurt on September 28th, and then the next game that he would play presumably would be October 26th. He's essentially had a month to get that hamstring right. So I'm guessing that's what we see. I don't know that for certain, but you heard the same reporting that I heard from NFL Network and places like that over the course of the week, that, and we just common sense, when it's a hamstring, generally if it's enough to miss one game, it's usually enough to miss two games, right? And then you get into, is it more serious than that? I don't think so, but you've got to it there's no playing through a hamstring injury when you're Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry, someone who's really relying on speed and their legs and their mobility, right? I mean, you just can't do that. Shoulder, sure. Sore ribs, yeah. Put a flat jacket on, like quarterbacks used to wear when they'd have a cracked rib and play through pain. You can do it for certain injuries like that, but can't really do that for a hamstring. A soft tissue injury like that, I mean, that's at the very least, you're not explosive. And even worse, there's a high setback rate for something like that if you come back, try to play through it and come back too soon. So, man,
By
this
the way, I had
offense.
Sean Merriman on last week, and he played in the league a little bit. He's pretty good athlete. He said, I always say when a hamstring gets healthy, give it one more week. After it gets healthy, give it one more week.
I've heard others, I've heard players, I've heard coaches, I've heard even sports medicine types utter that same sentiment. So yeah, I'm not expecting Lamar to play this week based on the fact that he didn't play this, this past Sunday. And yes, no matter how devastating 1-5 feels compared to the hope of him playing Sunday and being 2-4, you know what's more devastating? If he pulls up on the third drive of the game and is being helped off the field and he's got a grade 2/3 hamstring and he's out the next 7 weeks, then your season is totally cooked, right? Then there is no coming back from that, mathematically even. So it's not great, but you just have to, as a coaching staff, as an offense, go back to the drawing board. You hope Ronnie Stanley can play. I mean, he practiced Thursday and Friday. Now, based on what we saw in the limited viewing window that media can see, it didn't look like he was doing a whole lot. So I can't say I'm completely stunned, even though I thought he'd give it a go on Sunday. I mean, he tried to give it a go in Kansas City, and we saw how that turned out. But you're hoping you get him back at least, although the same principle could apply. Do you need to shut him down for one more week with the idea that he's 100%, for the Bears game in week eight? Maybe you do, but man, whoever's out there, gosh, you've got to find a way to run the ball better than that. Because if it's all about Lamar Jackson, then that validates the point that I made to you over a year ago of why I wasn't like jumping up and down on the table that you need to sign Derrick Henry, because if you can't run, if it's truly all about Lamar and that's it, then Derrick Henry's not the valuable commodity that you think he is then. And let me be clear, that's not, I don't actually, that's not me taking a shot at him. It's just, the systemic part of this where really I'm calling out the offensive line. You gotta block. So, I mean, this isn't just, oh, well, hey, the Browns sold out to sell the run. These teams are doing this and they're doing it with a high degree of success, and you're not adjusting one way or the other, right? I mean, anything any great defensive coach will tell you that there is a way, there is always a way to take something, some element of an offense away, the opponent's offense away, but you're making concessions elsewhere. So whatever's happening on that front, we're not seeing the Ravens take advantage there. And man, they've got to find a way here. Because, the Rams are coming to town, and okay, I'll buy Houston being a better defense, but Rams, with their running game and that quarterback and those weapons, man, I mean, you thought this past Sunday was ugly. I mean, this game can be, I don't know if it can be much uglier because it doesn't get much worse than that in NFL terms, but man, you've got to be able to score points. You can't do that and have any hope to win when you consider the state of affairs with this defense right now. So Todd Monken's got they've got to go into the lab and they've got to find a few more answers. I mean, Cooper Rush found a way to win some games in Dallas over the last few years when he was backing up Dak Prescott. So it can be done by somebody. The Ravens they've got to find a way to get more offensive production than they got Sunday, because I mean that wasn't, stating the obvious, that wasn't nearly good enough.
Well, I mean, here come the Rams, and I just think to myself, all right, if what was out there will be out there in 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is, and there is no Lamar and there's no Ronnie Stanley, and I mean, Stanley practiced the other day, right? I mean,
I mean,
so there's
yeah,
some thought that this week
maybe.
you're going to have the injury report for everybody all week. If you're on the WNSD tech service, you get it. But like, I don't even know what it means on Friday when you made a prediction. Nobody knows more than you. I'd say, who knows more? You're in the locker room. Stanley and Humphrey, you bet a nickel they'd be in the game because you put the Ravens to win.
Hamilton,
Hamilton.
not
I'm saying,
Humphrey. Yeah.
I meant
Yeah,
Hamilton.
I
Sorry.
wasn't. Stanley, I absolutely thought was going to play. Now, what level? That's certainly up for debate. What level he was going to play. I mean, he played against Kansas City. You saw how it looked the first two series, and then he was out. I mean, it didn't go well. I think surrendered five pressures in two series, right? But, Hamilton, I wasn't quite as sure. Look, I was trying to give the Ravens the benefit of the doubt, which is kind of silly because I wrote the previous week that the benefit of the doubt's wearing thin. So, like I said, that's my bad, right? I was wrong. No one was picking a blowout, though, right? I mean, did anyone really think that the Texans were going to blow out the Ravens on Sunday? That was, again, that goes back to my overall point here, in this being as jarring as it was to not lose, but lose in the manner in which they lost. But, will you get Stanley back this week? If not, then I kind of question why you're even having him out there, like in these limited practices. Just shut him down if you need to shut him down, right? I mean, that seems a little, a little counterintuitive. If you feel it's a couple week kind of an injury, then don't be on the practice field. Go get treatment, right? In the same way with Lamar, like if the hamstring's not good enough, I don't want him on the practice field. Get treatment round the clock, So that way you're 100% golden for the Bears game in a few weeks. Will you get Stanley back? Maybe. Will you get Hamilton back? I mean, it was a groin injury that John Harbaugh said didn't prop up or pop up in practice. He said it was lingering from the Kansas City game, but you look at the injury report. He went from limited on Wednesday to DNP, DNP Thursday and Friday. That sounds like whatever issue he had was made worse on that Wednesday. And I'm not accusing the Ravens of anything reckless. I mean, injuries can occur in practice as well. We know that. So will you see him? Awuzie, it's a hamstring. Didn't practice all week. As we said, if it's a one game hamstring injury, it's usually a two game, right? I mean, Roquan, that's kind of already been reported. He's out until after the bye. Same with Humphrey. So you're going to be a diminished version of yourselves once again. So you can do two things. You can throw your hands up, which is kind of how it kind of feels like how they played on Sunday, if we're calling a spade a spade. We can use whatever semantics about effort or quitting or not putting up much fight or whatever. I mean, they did not play like a team that had any meaningful belief that they were going to win that football game on Sunday. So if you're in a similar spot with your injury report this week, maybe it's a little bit better, maybe not. How are you going to respond? Are you going to go back to work and try to find some answers to, to make this more of a football game? And also, I'll point out, because I love pointing out these scheduling quirks, because I talked about this with one of the reasons I picked Kansas City to win was the Ravens were coming off a short week on a Monday night game. The Rams, extra rest, but West Coast team playing a 1 p.m. kickoff on the East Coast. That's a thing. It has been a thing. It doesn't mean it's 100%, but it's absolutely a thing. But you've got to find more answers on offense. I mean, you've got to find a way to run the ball. I don't expect Cooper Rush to throw for four touchdowns. I'm not some purple Kool-Aid drinking, La La Land kind of expectation there.
But he
But
does have wide receivers that should be able to
yeah,
win battles and
right.
get open.
Exactly. I mean, their offense. I know these are huge names here, but their offense was intact other than Lamar and Ronnie Stanley.
By the way, the Rams are 7.5 point favored.
Sounds about right. That sounds about right, assuming Lamar's not going to play. If Lamar's practicing Wednesday, then I think you see that line go down rapidly in the same way that the line flipped pretty quickly when it was apparent that Lamar wasn't going to play, right? I mean, so against the Texans. But man, if you're Todd Monken in this offense, you've got to figure this out. To, you know, there was, I know they ran that end around play to Keaton Mitchell, and that was an uninspiring
Dude, they
game
were
plan.
favorited last week in Kansas City,
Yeah.
8 days ago.
Yeah. But I just,
Jiminy, I've never
everything.
seen a line move like that, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, but I mean, that, but that speaks
The
to,
lines moved 14 points.
But that speaks to the quarterback, right? I mean, same thing. If Patrick Mahomes is out,
Lamar's worth 14 points on the spread.
I mean, it's on any given week. I mean, is 14 right? No, but it's a lot,
I think
right?
Peyton Manning might have been more of that back in the day, but
Oh,
I
Tom
don't know.
Brady in his prime,
Yeah.
sure. Yeah, I mean, that's why the quarterbacks are making $50+ million now. I mean, they are very, very important. So Joe, ask the Bengals, who look like maybe the worst team in football without Joe Burrow. I mean, the Ravens are looked like one of the worst teams in football on Sunday. I mean, the record is what it is, but the eyeball test
Well, I'm
was
trying to think of backup quarterback. Marcus Mariota ran around for the Commanders 2 weeks ago, looked okay for a minute
looked
and a
okay
half,
for a
right?
week, and then the next week
Yeah.
not so much. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it
Joe
works. I'm
Flacco looked okay for a week,
I mean,
right?
two weeks ago, he was kind of the or 2 years ago, he was kind of the toast of the NFL in December, right? I mean, but
Well, he had
then.
protection, a running game, and guys to throw the ball to.
So,
And if Cooper Rush had that protection, a running game, he's got Derrick Henry, and guys to throw the ball to. It probably comes down to Cooper Rush, and it comes down to the offensive line not being good enough at any level right now. Where are you with Linderbaum? Where are you with Rosen? Where are you following Lele? And
I
yeah.
look, I and full disclosure, as you asked me this, I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch the game. I'm watching from the corner of the press box, right? I mean, even coaches would tell you right after the
The
game, I need
Kevin
to watch a
Byrne
tape.
little press box. Haven't heard from Kevin
But
Byrne lately. Hi, Kevin.
my overall assessment would be, I think Linderbaum has mostly played well to very well. Has it been his best season? Maybe not. Ronnie Stanley, he's been hurt now the last two games. The guards, I will say this. Falele is the whipping boy on social media, right? I mean, he's the one who gets the brunt of the criticism from fans. Voorhees has been worse than him. And that's not to say Falele has been great, but their guards are a problem. There's no doubt about it. Their guards are a problem. Is there a
You ain't
solution?
solving that, dog.
And that's the thing. I mean, Ben Cleveland's been here 5 years now. If you want to throw Ben Cleveland out there, God bless. And look, it might get to a point where you do need to just try some things just for the sake of doing it. And that's kind of my
Well,
point
they had to
with,
do that on defense at every position this week. It didn't work
sure.
out so good, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, Rosengarten's been disappointing to me. I was waiting for him to take a step forward. It feels like he's taken a step back at best. That's not good. And they miss Patrick McCary from a versatility standpoint, whether he was going to be the starting left guard again or not.
I keep
Just
going back to Ricard, dude.
and look,
Ricard coming through a hole bearing
that's
down on a
absolutely
safety
part
or
of it.
linebacker is a different thing than whatever they have
It's
now. It's
absolutely a
different
part
than
of it.
Justice Hill waiting to get
It's absolutely a
hit.
part of it, but I will also acknowledge, Patrick Ricard also wasn't on the field every single snap either, and there were plenty of runs, successful runs, without him on the field. So but it's part of it. Just in general, and I know we're focused on the offense, but offense and defense, their line play needs to be way better on both sides of the ball. Or I do have my doubts about, not that the Ravens won't get healthier and be better than 1-4 moving forward or 1-5 moving forward when they get guys back. But when you are 1-4, in danger of being 1-5 coming out of the bye week, the level of play that's required to go on the kind of run that they're going to need to go on to get back in the playoff race and all of that, that's where I do look at the line play and say, are you going to be able to stop the run well enough? Are you going to be able to get enough pressure on quarterbacks? Are you going to be able to block and open up running lanes and protect your franchise quarterback to the degree that you need to week in and week out to go on a kind of run of winning 6 of 7, winning 7 of 9, whatever benchmark you want to throw out there, when if being 1-4 now and what they need to be, or being 1-5 at the bye and doing the math and looking at the schedule, right? In the same way we did this with the Orioles, right? When they were, 18 under 500, you're thinking, wow, they've got to go 28 over the rest of the way just to get to 86 wins, which maybe is enough to be the third wild card, right? I mean, you start doing that kind of stuff, but you forget that just because you started off very poorly doesn't mean that the law of averages say you're going to be fantastic after that. Generally, you'll kind of settle into what your level is. And, the Orioles are a great example of that. The Orioles from early June on basically played 500 ball the rest of the way. And that's what I think their true talent level was. But obviously, that wasn't going to be nearly enough to have any shot of getting them back in the playoff race. Ravens have a much higher baseline than that. And I'll still say that, even being 1-4, I think their true talent level when they're playing at their best is certainly better than a 500 team or anything like that. But if you're 1-5, let's say 10-7, because I still think there's skepticism about just how good Pittsburgh actually is. Hey, the record, they're in first place and they deserve that, and they played well enough and they've earned that, right? And the Ravens are 1-4. This isn't, but if I'm trying to assess from an eyeball test standpoint and project out what the rest of the way needs to look like, let's say you need to get to 10 wins. If you're 1-5, you need to go 8-2. You need to go 9-2 the rest of the way just to get to 10-7. Do you have the offensive line to play that kind of football week in and week out? Do you have the defensive line to play that kind of football week in and week out? So, man, they've got to find some answers, whether it's shuffling some things, making some adjustments internally, trying some different guys in different spots, or Eric DaCosta going out and making a deal. And when you're 1-5, are you going to make deals at the trade deadline, right? I mean, you get to the point where you're kind of like, we talked about the trade deadline with the Orioles, that, buyer or seller. I mean, they never played good enough football to even consider, or good enough football, good enough baseball to even consider being buyers at the trade deadline, right? I mean, that would have been foolish at that point. You're just throwing away assets then, unless it was someone you could get that's going to help you next year, right? And maybe there's a deal like that out there. I mean, people have talked about the Ravens trading for a defensive lineman, especially if Matabike's career is in jeopardy, right? I mean, could you sign or could you trade for someone that you absorb a contract and say, hey, it may not save our season this year, but we're going to love having that guy next year. And that's kind of what they did with Roquan Smith, right? I mean, they extended him and they kept him long term then.
It's kind of
So,
what the Orioles did with Zach Eflin, although they
yeah, I
were in
mean,
a
they did
pennant
that
race.
last, yeah, they did that last year. So, but the point is, if any of this is going to matter for them to get back on track, man, their offensive line and their defensive line, man, you've got to find some answers, because this is not going to be tenable to be able to go, even when they get the guys back that are hurt right now that are coming back, to go on the kind of run that's going to be required to get to 10 wins.
Well, you're
which.
asking of Eric DaCosta now. We did a whole segment on Harbaugh and his accountability. Now you're asking about who's buying the groceries and how are we buying them and what's expired and are we sour on Marlon Humphrey now with the Jaire Alexander experiment? Ben Cleveland, guys that they've had around that haven't made it to the field even through injury or have made it to the field enough to say Trenton Simpson. Yeah, we got to do better than that. And our Darius Washington coming back at some point next year. Look, dude, I'm not here to talk about next year 1-4,
Sure.
but they're a 7.5 point dog at home to be 1-5.
I mean, it's not impossible, but boy, that is a one heck of a climb the rest of the way just to get to 10-7, which, okay, I'll buy 10-7, giving them a puncher's chance to win the division. Pittsburgh, they've got a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. Their defense hasn't played great. I mean,
Well, they
this
can beat Pittsburgh twice.
and
They
that's and
have
that's
it
part of it.
right.
Of course,
Yeah.
of course,
Yeah.
right. So, but as much as you look at the schedule, okay, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, although those last three I
That's
mentioned are,
four. You better go on a run there, dude.
yeah,
That better be 4 in a row. That better
but
not be
those,
2-2.
I agree, but those last three are three straight road games. So, but after that, the Jets, Bengals, Steelers at home. Now we're into early December at Cincinnati.
Well, the Rams are the last good team they're going to play till they see the Steelers, and we're not even sure they're good.
But at the, are we sure? We're not sure the Ravens are any good,
Oh, I
right?
don't
I
think
mean,
the Ravens are any. I'm not
yeah.
making that
Oh no,
case.
I understand. Yeah, and look, I mean, we're projecting out because,
As constructed, they're not very good. They're missing $150 million worth of their
yeah,
players.
and their defense wasn't playing very well with those guys, quite frankly. I mean, we've talked about that, but then you look to the last month of the season, home against Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. I don't think there's any shot in whatsoever that Joe Burrow is playing again this year because they're not going to be in a position that it's going to matter, quite frankly. I mean, why would you bring Joe Burrow back on Christmas if you're out of the playoff race? Heal him, get him healed up for next year. But now, December 21st, New England. I don't know about you. Patriots? Don't get me wrong. Not sitting here saying that they're the old Patriots suddenly and like Tom, that Drake Mays, Tom Brady reincarnate, but go look at what they did against Buffalo on Sunday night. Ravens couldn't do that a month ago. Couldn't beat them. It looked a little bit different. Different kind of game that was played, but they won there. So that game looks different than how someone would have viewed it in May. And then you finish up the season, Nestor. These are the big two. Especially if we're talking 1-5 and what it, to go 9-2 over your last 11 games. Your last two games are at Green Bay and at Pittsburgh. I mean, so you're talking about
You need to be ahead of schedule by the time you get there.
a Herculean climb that's ahead if they indeed lose on Sunday and they're 1-5. Impossible? No. We've seen the Lamar Jackson era Ravens go on. They won 12 games in a row in 2019. We saw the run they went through. They went on 2 years ago in 23, but.
Well, this is a circle of the wagons for the head coach and the
It has to
GM,
be.
as well as the quarterback himself, who
Everyone. Everyone.
Who's
Yeah.
trying to get out on the field and whether he can or can't or will or won't, time will tell. But he's a $50 million difference maker. He's 20% of their cap
Of
number.
course. I mean, yeah. I mean, this, everything I just mentioned is all contingent on Lamar Jackson being healthy coming out of the bye week and looking like Lamar and being the best version of himself. If he's not, or if he has more injuries, or if they have more injuries at other significant positions, significant players going down, then yeah, this year will probably be like 2015 or 2021, where you just kind of say, yep, it's
The
not going to
season
happen
just
this
got
year.
started. It's over already,
I
dude. It's
know.
almost like the Orioles or
I,
something, right?
it, well, did you see my. I When you have a game as poor as Sunday's was, I made the comment in the fourth quarter. I said, now I'm just waiting for the Orioles position player to come in and finish this one out. I mean, that's what it felt like. I mean, it's 44-10, man. I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's we talked about this so many times this past baseball season, how you can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose it. I mean, the Orioles were completely cooked by Memorial Day. I mean, it was over,
And the Blue
over,
Jays,
over.
meanwhile, are playing. I mean, who you and I walking around getting
I would
eggs in the
not have
morning in
thought that.
Toronto to think that the Toronto Blue Jays would be. And look at Getty. I mean, dude, Getty is signing books at the Negro Baseball Library in Kansas City this weekend. Had I known, had I
Yeah.
just give me a little lead time, Getty. But it is, I mean, at least fingers crossed. I got a lot of baseball I can watch this week between now and when the Ravens might lose to the Rams on
Well,
Sunday,
there's
right?
a lot of baseball this week. I mean,
It's
no
my
doubt
birthday
about it.
week too. It's a big week here.
But and but you bringing up the Blue Jays, maybe that's the best when you're talking about how down it feels for the Ravens right now, how down it felt for the Orioles all season. And my goodness, we'll have
Well,
discussions
the
about
Orioles
that
hit
when
what,
they.
five home runs for opening day, or what was
Yeah.
it?
Oh yeah. Lutschman hit two of them,
Right.
right? I mean, yeah. But it's also a reminder that
Oh.
this too shall pass. They're 1-4 right now. Yeah, it feels really bleak. I'm not ready to say the season's over.
Oh, beat the
I have.
Rams by a field goal, get Lamar back, win
I
a
mean,
couple of games, you're 4-4, it's Halloween, we're
yeah.
all different here. Yeah.
Yeah. But I am very concerned. I last week I was much more of the Aaron Rodgers RELAX, relax. Remember, I even started off our conversation saying, "Everyone, take a deep breath. It's still early, right?" I'd be disingenuous if I was that cavalier about it at this point. I mean, because I just didn't like how this performance looked and smelled. I to lose, of course, you're banged up to all you know what. To lose in that fashion where there wasn't even a meaningful hint of a fight that was put up. That was disconcerting to me. That makes me wonder what's going on under the hood. And behind closed doors and between the ears for everyone. And where's the trust level on this football team? So I don't know. I cannot sit here with any conviction and say that I think it's going to get better this week. It might feel worse. Well, not might. If they lose, regardless of how they lose, it's going to
Well, I think
feel
they're seeing a
worse.
better football team this week than the
Yeah,
one that just
sure.
beat them
And that's
44 to
part of
10.
it, right? That's why we said last week, that's why I kept saying they've got to find a way to win this game because I don't feel like they're going to win the next game without Lamar if he's
Well, if
not out
tickets
there.
dip below $30, I'm a candidate to pay just to
There you
see
go.
Puka Nakua because I love
Great
Puka
player.
Nakua. So
Great player.
there.
One of my favorite players in the league. Great player. He's fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see how the Rams respond because, man, they were the team that they were facing a 49ers team that was much like the Ravens this week. So banged up and lacking their starting quarterback and players on defense and all that. And they lost. They lost to a team on the road on a short week that was ravaged by injuries. It was a bad looking loss from an eyeball test standpoint. So we'll see how they respond, having extra rest, flying across the country, playing at 1 o'clock East Coast time. And I would say it's gut check time for the Ravens. I've said that now for 2 weeks now, and they're just playing worse and worse. So, I mean, that's the captain obvious. Like, show us something, guys. I mean, lots of talk in the post game about, we've got to go out and do it. Well, we're waiting at this point and doesn't feel any better in the process.
Nakua is coming to town. He had good times this week. The Los Angeles Rams, never of St. Louis and certainly never of Anaheim any longer, will come in this week. And the Ravens are a 7.5 point underdog at home. They must have seen what the stands look like in the fourth quarter on Sunday. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. I can be found just about anywhere on the internet, and that's at baltimorepositive.com. We're all out on the social channels. Luke is at Baltimore Luke. I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away courtesy of the Maryland Lottery on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We were at Fadley's, the Lexington Market last week. We had a great time down there. I have postponed Costas this week to get to my birthday next week. We're going to be at Coco's in early November. I got a date on that. Working that out with Rasig as well as some others as well. I'm watching baseball all week long, and I'm available. I'm a very available individual. We've been a little hard on John Harbaugh around here at 1-4. I think he's underpaid and underappreciated. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive, even when it feels like all hope is lost.